When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another edition of Irish Illustrated Insider Recruiting Extra. I'm Pete Sampson, joined by Kevin Sinclair. I am back from the Pacific Northwest, no longer at the opening after a week at Nike headquarters. It was an amazing event, as pretty much anybody who's following our coverage on Irish Illustrated probably picked up. And there's been news outside of the opening as well, so we're going to talk a little bit about cornerback recruiting, tight end recruiting, scholarship numbers in general. And Kevin, let's start at tight end, because you talked to Tommy Tremble after he put out his top six. I haven't seen quotes from him anywhere else on that. And it seems like from our conversations about your conversation with him that Notre Dame is in a pretty strong position right now, heading towards a commitment that could come in the next week.
Yeah, Tommy Tremble, I spoke with him a few nights ago, right after he sort of tweeted his top six. Going into the conversation, I already knew that he was really high on Notre Dame and he had a really great visit. I think that they did executed a really strong plan while he was on campus. Following his Notre Dame visit, he was going to out west to UCLA to visit them. And he has family in California. Obviously, UCLA is doing a good job of recruiting. So Chip Long sort of spent a lot of time with Tremble when he was there, sort of selling their offense to him. I know they watched some film on Memphis from last year. But he also spent a lot of time with Alize Mack, who flipped from UCLA to Notre Dame back in his recruitment. And, you know, Mack sort of put forth the idea as to, you know, why he made that choice to leave his commitment with UCLA, why he chose Notre Dame over them, really harped on the academics. And also, Tremble is sort of a flex tight end, or a big time receiving option, sort of almost a polar opposite of what George Takacs is. So them having that discussion, Tremble sort of seeing how he would fit in terms of speaking with another athlete who sort of has a similar skill set to him. I think that all just went really well for Tremble. And then sort of when he discussed his top six, he sort of ran through each school as to why he chose each one, why they're all on in his top six. And he sort of had really comfortable, strong reasoning for Notre Dame, which I didn't quite hear out of the other five schools in his top list. He had sort of minimal reasoning as to why the others were there. He had a really strong, confident reasoning for why Notre Dame made it. And I just feel really confident that they're going to land him next week.
Yeah, it was interesting to think about Tremble after I was able to watch George Takacs at the opening. And I think I went into the opening thinking Takacs was going to be somewhere between Brock Wright and Cole Kmet, and then the group of Jerome Smythe and Nick Wisher. And I think after watching them, I think Takacs is way more towards Smythe, Wisher. I know he's a three-star on some networks, and I don't think I would argue with that a whole lot. I know he's a four-star on Scout. I think he's sort of a tweener in terms of three-star, four-star. Big body, but I think he's somebody who's going to have to grow and put a lot of weight and be more in line than flex, whereas Tremble is totally out there and much more Alize Mack. So I guess after the week at Nike, I feel like Tremble probably should be more of a take than maybe I thought going into it. Now that kind of, let's transition into cornerbacks. This is all related because there's only 85 scholarships and Notre Dame is up against that limit. D'Angelo McKenzie, more of a safety prospect. You broke that he's going to visit later this month. And then you also talked to Dante Burton, the three-star corner from Georgia last night. He'll also be visiting later this month. It seems like they're in a position to maybe make some headway at that position, corner or safety, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of the time of summer where a lot of the visits are sort of shaping up. Kids are out of school now. Our parents are getting on vacation and some dates are getting set. And yeah, Dante Burton, I spoke with him last night. He's going to be visiting. He said he's probably going to be around the 29th. You know, he may make a decision later this summer, or it might, you know, be within the first 2 weeks of the fall. And then obviously there's the other cornerback, Telly Plummer out of Georgia. He's going to be visiting on July 24th. So you sort of have some of these, you know, I guess sort of the, more the top of that big wide net of three-star corners that they cast this year. They're going to be visiting. DJ Johnson, obviously, also, you know, announced a top two of Iowa and Notre Dame. Obviously, we have to like Notre Dame's chances there with the in-state recruit. So sort of going forward, if we're looking at sort of a, you know, three being the target for cornerbacks in this class, it brings up the question of, would they take three of these three-star corners and call it a class, you know, this summer? Or would they maybe, you know, be only shooting for about two of that sort of tier two group of cornerbacks and hold a spot for a guy like Kyler Gordon or one of their higher up ranked safeties, cornerbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see how this sort of pans out. I think that Notre Dame, with a visit with any of, you know, Dante Burton, the Telly Plummers, I think they'll probably jump to the top of the list for those recruits. So like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how many they would take, if they would take all three this summer before getting a guy like Kyler Gordon on campus. We're going to be keeping my eye on that.
Yeah, I'm quite fascinated to see how all that shakes out. And I guess before we get into the five guys, you watch the opening and sort of see some of the corners are out there. Houston Griffith, I talked to him. I definitely did not get a blue and gold vibe from him when we spoke before the combine on Saturday night. You know, certainly it's a lot different than Shane Simon when you're talking to him about Notre Dame. And I think with Houston Griffith, he played a lot of corner at the opening. He was good, but not great. Struggled sometimes from the games that I watched. Certainly somebody in Notre Dame would take in a second, but I think the conversation with him felt more like he needs to see Notre Dame win some games, and he's got what I would consider a healthy skepticism about sort of where Notre Dame is right now compared to Ohio State, Nebraska. You know, certainly they're involved and had much better seasons last year. But, you know, it's, I think coming out of the opening, I don't want to get too into the five guys before we get rolling there, but I do think Notre Dame is in great shape with Kevin Austin and Shane Simon and Jack Lamb. And I guess, yeah, let's just get into five guys now. And because Jack Lamb is my first guy, I thought he was outstanding at the opening, 6'4", 220. Notre Dame loves this guy. I know that they were recruiting him during the event, texting the dad, making sure they were in touch and letting the kid know that they were watching. Brandon Huffman had him as the top linebacker at the event when it came to 7-on-7. I don't argue with that at all. He had a really nice pass breakup in the championship game and just moves really well in coverage. And that's kind of what you're looking for a linebacker these days, more than the Manti Te'o run-stopping ability, where you need to be big and huge and 240 to play in the middle of a defense. I think Jack Lamb could be a Mike, could be a Will. I spent a lot of time talking to his dad out there. They're very high in Mike Elko. They're very high in the opportunity at Notre Dame. I believe he's doing early enrollment, and they know that, look, Morgan and Martini are out the door, and there's not a lot behind them. So I think Notre Dame is in an excellent position for Jack Lamb. At this point, I'll be surprised if they don't get him, but he's number one on my list for five guys this week.
Yeah, my first guy is Dante Burton, cornerback from Georgia. We just sort of skimmed across. I thought I'd get more into detail with him. So I had a good discussion with him last night. So Burton's a three-star cornerback. He's the number seven corner in Georgia. Now, I believe he was the number nine cornerback kind of earlier this summer. So it looks like he may have moved up a bit. He's 5'11", 175. I personally am really high on Burton's film. I know there's discussion where some people feel he's more of a four-star corner. Great speed. You see him on film really keeping up with all the, you know, top receivers in the, you know, top division of Georgia high school football. You know, he's got tremendous feet, just an instinctual player. I really like what he brings to the table. As I stated, he'll be visiting on July 29th. He said he's also going to be visiting Oklahoma State and West Virginia, either just before or just after his visit to Notre Dame. I definitely got the sense that his Notre Dame visit is sort of, you know, his top priority, the one he's the most jacked up about. He said he may also visit Pittsburgh. He's not too sure about that. You know, he's sitting with 27 offers. His offers from Missouri, North Carolina. He was actually committed to North Carolina at one point, then decommitted. Notre Dame, obviously, Oklahoma State, Oregon, Pitt, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, many others. They've sort of put together one of their, you know, combined recruiting efforts with him. He's been speaking with Todd Light a lot. Todd Light's been also speaking with his father. He's had discussions with Mike Elko. He's gotten on the phone with Brian Kelly a few times. Also, he's pretty good friends with Derek Allen. And he's played, you know, 7-on-7 ball, different all-star camps, things like that. He's in contact with Derek Allen quite a bit. He said that he's sort of heard from other Notre Dame commits just sort of via social media. He's definitely getting a good feeling that, you know, he's really wanted there. He knows the situation at cornerback in Notre Dame, and things are going to be really interesting with him when he comes and visits. I think there's a good chance he ends up being in this class.
Yeah, that's a good segue into my number two, being Derek Allen, another guy I saw at the opening, and really an interesting prospect when you see him in person, because as athletic as he is, and I would assume if you're listening to this podcast, you saw that one-handed interception that he made during one-on-ones, but kind of thick and not necessarily cut up yet. So you look at how well he moves without being like looking like Jalen Smith or, you know, Max Redfield in terms of just cut. There is a lot of room for growth there in terms of his conditioning and sort of how big he can get, how athletic he can be. And he's already in great shape. I think we have him listed at 6'2", 206 on Scout, but I think he's probably pushing 215, maybe 218, just standing next to him in person. He was very impressive. You know, Dad decked out Notre Dame gear at the event. I don't think he's somebody that Notre Dame needs to worry about a whole lot. Another guy that very impressed with Mike Elko. His dad told me that Elko was what sealed the deal for Notre Dame. He already knows the defense. They would love to do early enrollment, but can't make it happen with the high school schedule and credits. But yeah, he was dynamite, and it took a lot to have him not be my top Notre Dame commitment at the opening. But the next guy on my five guys list was just a little bit better. So Derek Allen, number two for me this week.
Number two for me this week is safety D'Angelo McKenzie, another guy we touched on in the first segment. He's out of San Jose, California, Valley Christian High School, three-star recruit. Now, he's listed as a cornerback with Scout. He's listed as a cornerback elsewhere as well. And I talked to him about that. He said he's definitely a safety. He says within his defense, he comes up and presses on receivers often. So I guess he sort of has some of that cornerback ability. He's definitely good in coverage. But he is a safety and being recruited as a safety by Notre Dame. More likely a strong safety is what he's told me. You know, he's a pretty strong offer list with Arizona, Arizona State, Hawaii, Notre Dame, Oregon State, UCLA, Utah, Washington State. So a lot of Pac-12 schools there. So he's going to be visiting this weekend. He wanted to visit for Irish Invasion. He was sort of geared towards going to that, had plans sort of coming about, but it sounded like he had an ACT scheduled that same weekend, so he couldn't make it. He was really disappointed about that. There's lots of schools sort of coming at him. I know that he told me, you know, sort of, I think it was kind of late spring, he told me that he was hearing from Oregon and Washington as well. He was thinking about visiting there, but he hasn't done that yet. I don't know if he were to pick up offers from them down the road at some point. I know that he really impressed at the Oakland opening regional. I know that I read he was you know, sort of one of the more impressive in terms of coverage of the safeties at that event. Obviously, being the Oakland regional, there was a lot of really talented defensive backs there. So that was interesting to hear about him. Sort of in terms of this whole thing, being that he's a safety, Notre Dame's, if you look at their, I guess, recent recruiting at the position, last cycle they got Isaiah Robertson and Jordan Genmark Heath. We all saw Robertson in the spring, and he looked really good. Jordan Genmark Heath is another guy who I think is going to do well at the college level, really athletic, big-bodied kid. And then in this class, obviously, they have Derek Allen, who we just discussed. And then they'll have a safety transferring in from Navy, Alohi Gilman. So that gives them four in the last two cycles. Obviously, they sort of have a young core of safeties as it is right now. So they have a lot of safeties with a lot of eligibility left. So when we're crunching these numbers in terms of who it takes and how many they're going to take where, I could see there possibly being a situation where they don't take another safety this class. I certainly think that it looks like they'll probably wait on that decision in terms of, I don't know that they would, take D'Angelo McKenzie this weekend. I think also notably D'Angelo McKenzie has stated, he keeps confirming that UCLA and Notre Dame are his top two. He's obviously has the connection to UCLA because it's close to home. He's been there. He knows the coaching staff well. But he's also told me that he's really interested in possibly going to school away from home, spending college away from California. So Notre Dame's a legitimate option for him. Whether they would, take him this summer or especially this weekend, I don't know that that would happen. I would more lean towards them waiting on that decision, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go, I mentioned sort of that top commit among the opening participants. It was Jason Abalola for me, and I thought going into the event it was going to be Derek Allen for sure, but the 6'3", 290 defensive tackle out of Jersey City, New Jersey, St. Peter's Prep, he was really good. Saturday during the one-on-ones without pads, I thought he was okay, maybe okay to good. But then he turned it on Sunday and especially Monday, ended up finishing in the final five among the defensive linemen. You could make an argument that he was easily the second best defensive tackle at the event and spent a lot of time working with Quentin Nelson. What I love to see is that he was eager to take reps against five-star guard Jamari Salier, who's visiting for the Georgia game. Notre Dame's really involved with it. He was the best offensive lineman. Frankly, he was the best lineman at the event. And Adamolola was not scared about getting beat by him, and he did a few times. But Adamolola also had the best beat of Salier at the event. So very impressed with the attitude, hand quickness, just sort of agility in general of Jason Adamolola at the event. I know on Scout he's number 127 overall, number 9 among defensive tackles. To me, this is probably a top 75 player and a top 5 defensive tackle. He was that good. He had an incredible offseason. So major credit to Jason Adamolola for getting his game where it is. He was really outstanding at Nike.
That's good news. I'm going to move to the 2019 class for my third guy, linebacker Mananoa Tofono. Notre Dame offered him this week. Actually, I think it was on the weekend. 6'3.5", 220 pounds. He's listed as an outside linebacker, this is a guy who mostly plays Mike linebacker in high school, and he told me he feels he'll probably play Mike linebacker in college, but he's open to both, and he's versatile enough to play both. He's out of Honolulu, Hawaii, Punahou School. He's a top 50 overall recruit. So I talked to him recently. He was visiting California. I spoke with him prior to the offering. He was in California to attend a graduation of somebody in his family. While he was there, he went to the USC Rising Stars camp, where he was named MVP at the camp. So that was obviously a good show of his talent. He also went to a UCLA camp and a few satellite camps where he was there, and there's just nothing but sort of rave reviews about what he had. He's a kid who has some really strong offers, a lot of Pac-12 offers. Adding Notre Dame was a really big deal to him, and he has some really strong connections to Notre Dame. First off, Myron Tagovailoa Amosa is his cousin, so that's Notre Dame's new freshman defensive lineman, sort of defensive end, defensive tackle swing guy. That obviously will play a factor. He speaks with him about Notre Dame quite a bit. Incoming Navy transfer safety, Alohi Gilman's dad is a coach at his school, Punahou School in Honolulu, where Manti Te'o went to school. So there's some strong connections there, and this is a kid who does really well in the classroom. He's definitely interested in getting a strong degree. He also, you know, sort of has links to Washington as well because his father played football at Washington. So this is going to be a really interesting recruitment. It sounds like, you know, he every time I talk to him, he's very geared towards his junior season and how important it is for him to win. He wants to win the championship this year. And so as a result of that, and also as a result of living way out in Hawaii, he's more than likely not going to be taking visits during the season. It sounds like probably next summer is when he's going to be making some visits. He's not sure when he'll visit Notre Dame. Of course, I spoke to him right when he got the offer, so he hasn't had a ton of time to think about that, but he's definitely going to visit Notre Dame, and I expect him to be in that race.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see Notre Dame get another kid from Punahou. It's a, you know, top-flight academic school, and obviously has been very kind to Notre Dame over the years recruiting recently. Kevin Austin, number four for me this week. He's listed at 6'3", 190 on Scout. Having sized him up in person, I'd say he's closer to 6'2", maybe 6'1.5". But the 190 is legit. This is a really cut-up, physically impressive kid. He wasn't the best receiver at the opening, but he was definitely in the top half of guys, maybe even the top 25% of the receivers there. Very productive in 7-on-7. Was on the same team as Trevor Lawrence. That may have helped Austin and Lawrence, and may have helped Lawrence too, being able to throw to Austin. So I like Notre Dame's position there. I spent a lot of time around the family. You know, academics is a legit thing there. That's why he's at North Bower Prep. I asked, you know, how do you end up there in the first place when he could have gone to university school or St. Thomas Aquinas? And they were just like, this was the best academic fit for us. So I think Notre Dame's in an excellent position there. Austin told me decision before the season, that essentially means it could happen today. I really think it's a matter of Austin just sort of coming to terms with, okay, that's the decision I want to make, and here's how I want to announce it. Because I got as far down the road as being like, okay, you're going to tweet this, you're going to do a video, you're going to do a press conference. And he's like, I'll probably just tweet it out. You know, maybe they'll do hats at the table or a commitment video on Bleacher Report or something. But overall, I think Notre Dame's in excellent position here. And considering the receiver board, Austin is a guy they absolutely have to land because they just don't have a lot of top-end talent at the position in the last class with Jafar Armstrong and Michael Young and even Micah Jones. So Kevin Austin, critical. I came out of the opening thinking Notre Dame's in an even better position than I thought going into it. So he's number four for me.
Yeah, kind of moving more towards that receiving idea. My fourth guy is Tommy Tremble. Obviously, we just spoke about him. I went into his successful visit he had at Notre Dame. Like I said, Chip Long, Alizé Mack, spent a good amount of time with him. Really, you know, had just a great visit at Notre Dame. We're also talking about a kid who has, you know, I believe he has five or six Ivy League offers, Columbia, Dartmouth, Pennsylvania, Princeton, Yale. So this is a kid who does well in the classroom. That bodes well for Notre Dame as well. You know, not very often do you see a kid with a mixture of all those Ivy League offers, but also he has offers from Georgia, Louisville, Maryland, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, North Carolina State, Notre Dame, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, West Virginia. So, you know, and all this sort of, you know, erupted all within sort of the last maybe 6 months. So since the end of his junior season. So, you know, if you watch his film, you see he's a tremendous receiver. I think he truly has a very high ceiling. And I don't know that he's going to line up in line much at all, or maybe if at all. So he sort of more falls into that big wide receiver category right now. He told me he's 6'4", between 220 and 222. He's looking forward to adding weight at the college level, but between now and college, he wants to keep his weight low and continue working on his receiving skills. Now, adding Tremble to this class next week, if he commits to Notre Dame, That could have a slight impact in terms of what they do at receiver recruiting going forward. Let's say there's sort of been some discussion within message boards and around that it's possible if Notre Dame were to get Kevin Austin in this class, and obviously if they were to add Tommy Tremble, that Notre Dame would possibly be good with that at receiver. But I'm sort of I have a kind of a hard time seeing them shutting down receiver recruiting because they've added Tremble as well. I think they'll probably want some more depth at receiver. Like you said, Pete, last cycle, just sort of landing Jafar Armstrong. You're sort of like a later addition there. At wide receiver, we don't know exactly what we have with him yet, other than that he is a really good speed option. And then also adding a slot receiver, they still are going to need those wide receiver options. Equanimeous St. Brown could leave early. Chase Claypool is a guy who could leave after his junior season as well. So they're going to want to add those numbers. Anyhow, Tommy Tremble is going to be announcing next week. Notre Dame's looking in really good shape.
Yeah, and then so last guy for me, I'll go back to the commitment group and go with Jamie and Franklin because he was a guy that I had sort of a little bit of skepticism going into the event. He's a 3-star on Scout as he is basically everywhere else, and there aren't a lot of 3-stars that make the opening finals. But I thought Franklin acquitted himself really well. I like the sort of attitude he plays with. He's well aware that he's a 3-star among 4s and 5s. And I think he got a little extra juice out of that. I think he sort of used that in a good, positive way. So he's undersized in terms of how long he is, but he is one thick dude and plays with a lot of power and has no problem getting under your shoulder pads and using sort of maybe that lack of height to his advantage. Did he do enough to jump to a 4-star? I don't think so, but did he do enough to make me think, yeah, this is a really quality football player who is doing it not just against small school competition in Maryland, which is what he plays against, and his film is great, and I think part of it is the competition. But when he got up against 4- and 5-star offensive linemen, I thought he held his own. He's not Jason Admalola, where he's going to be able to, I think, do a whole lot with somebody like a Jamari Sellier, but he drove back a lot of talented offensive guards that were at the opening final. So full credit to Jamie and Franklin. I thought he had a good week, acquitted himself quite well at the opening.
Yeah, my last guy, 2018 offensive tackle Will Craig. He was also at the opening. We have him at Scout listed as 6'5", 265 pounds. Pete, we talked about him yesterday. You said he looked like probably right around the low 270s, 4-star recruit, number 2 offensive tackle in California, number 4 in the West. So if you think about, you know, how many quality offensive tackles there are in California, this guy's rated number 2. This is a really great football player. He was at the opening finals, obviously. Granite Bay, California, Granite Bay High School, comes from a good program. Basically has offers from the whole Pac-12, basically. Arizona, Arizona State, Cal, Colorado, also Nebraska, Notre Dame, Oregon, Oregon State, UCLA, Utah, Washington, Washington State. Kind of similar to sort of Lamb's recruitment, sounded like Craig's sort of recruitment was sort of coming to a close. It was winding down. And then he got a Notre Dame offer, similar to what happened with Jack Lamb. And now he's considering Notre Dame. You sort of every time he's been in interviews, when he's been, you know, asked which schools are sort of, you know, intriguing him at the moment, Notre Dame's name seems to pop up really quickly. He mentioned he's been talking with Harry Hiestand. He wants to visit this summer. It sounded like he wanted to sort of possibly visit early in July, but the dead period and that sort of thing. It sounded like those plans sort of fell through. Pete, you said it sounds like it is a pretty good possibility he'll end up taking an official visit rather than an unofficial visit this summer. But that unofficial visit this summer could happen. This is a guy I think Notre Dame has a really good shot for. They're looking to add, you know, 2 more offensive linemen. Looks like they'll probably add 1 tackle and then an interior guy. You know, I like kind of what Will Craig brings to the table. Seems like a fit at Notre Dame, high character kid. So we'll be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, he's somebody I'm writing about today on Irish Illustrated. And he would have liked to have visited Notre Dame already, but it sounds like that's not going to happen. He's going to see Washington and Washington State this summer still on a family vacation. But he said definitely an official visit to Notre Dame, likes what Harry Hiestand is selling, spent some time with Quentin Nelson at the opening, who was working there as a counselor, really liked what Nelson had to say about Hiestand and Notre Dame. So I think he's somebody that would fit in at Notre Dame, even if he's never been there and doesn't really know a whole lot about it. I asked him, you know, do you know anybody who's played there or coached there or just went to school there? And he's like, I have no connection to Notre Dame at all. But just talking to him, he's not real big on media. And I told him he'll get along with Harry Hiestand because of that. But he said that he likes sort of more of the old school mentality. So he might be a good match for Hiestand, even though the two have not met at Notre Dame. But I think you'll see him take an official visit to some point this season. You know, maybe it'll be Georgia, maybe it'll be USC for night games. That certainly works well with California kids. So, yeah, there's been the opening really sort of resets the recruiting board for Notre Dame moving towards the season. There will be a few visits here, and I think you'll see Notre Dame pick up two, maybe three more commitments before the start of training camp on August 1st. So, a lot happening in Notre Dame recruiting right now, and we're happy to recap it for you here on Irish Illustrated Recruiting Insider. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Pete Sampson, joined by my co-host, Kevin Sinclair.